Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, it certainly is. How you doing, Mike?
Well, I'm doing good. It's cooler. There was a nice breeze in the parking lot. I couldn't believe how nice it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice. Usually you walk across that pavement out there, and it's like walking across a hot oven.
Yeah, it's like eggs in a frying pan.
Eggs in a frying pan, only my feet didn't burn up.
79 degrees we have here, so it says.
Good. I believe it. It's great. It's my kind of temperature.
So what's new?
Nothing.
Are we just going to sit here and look at each other?
Okay. You can ask me questions. You know,
well,
you can ask me questions. You don't know.
I'm having a political moment. I'm blank.
A political moment.
I didn't want to mention any names.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome to the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. This is a question and answer show about your lawn, your garden, your lawn. Let's see what else. Sprinkler system, weeds.
Yeah.
Plants,
China vines.
China vines, the whole nine yards. So the only problem is I left 3 pages of my notes in the truck. So I don't know how I'm going to manage this, so I need a lot of phone calls, okay? So 673-4464 is the number to call if you have a question about any gardening thing that is troubling you or challenging you or something you want to do in the future, because it's almost September, isn't it?
Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's amazing. Because September is a good landscaping month.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, because it's finally, well, 79 today.
Mm-hmm.
So as September rolls in here, we're going to have some, you know, just cooler days. I wish that we'd have some more rain. I loved that rain last week. It was wonderful.
Well, we got a lot of it, didn't we?
Oh, in some places we did, yeah.
So. Well, good afternoon there. You're on the air with Mike.
Hi, yes. I've got questions about my lawn and the weeds and what I should be doing this time of year. I've read so much, I'm confused.
Weeds where? In the grass or in the shrubs?
In the grass lawn. I've got some of that viney weed that's got little white flowers.
Oh, yeah.
And that one's really hard to kill. I've got some clover, and the crabgrass just went nuts, just almost like overnight.
Huh. Well, first thing you want to do is just wait a little bit until it gets a little bit cooler. And then you can spray with a weed killer, and a broadleaf weed killer, and you can purchase those at the farmers co-op, and they have about half a dozen weed killers that you can choose from, and I would suggest that you get the most expensive one, because that'll be the best one, and and just in when you start to spray in the evening after the sun has lost its heat, and go through and be very, very thorough and meticulous when you're spraying. Now, this is the weed killer is only for broadleaf weeds, so you don't want to just spray the lawn in a wholesale manner, like everything in there. But you know, you just want to get the broadleafs, and they'll start to turn brown in 10 days, something like that. And then you can overseed, you can thatch, you can aerate. You know what that is, thatching and aerating?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But prior to thatching and aerating, you want to soak the lawn, soak it real good so that the aerator can penetrate into the ground, and the weeds will be easier to take out. And then go ahead and overseed it with some good seed, fertilize it, and and then water it every day for a week or so, and you'll see new grafts coming up, and the new grafts will choke out the other stuff.
Oh, okay. Now, what about something like Turf Builder for the winter that kills, prevents, and feeds?
That's good. That's good stuff. If you did that every fall, or even once in the spring and once in the fall, you'd have a pretty good handle on the weed population. But in the spring, around the end of February, 1st of March is when you should spray it at that point, and then fertilize it after that, and you'd fertilize it and you'd seed it, and another month goes by, just make sure that you're pumping the water to it and adding some more good fertilizer. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's the weeds are atrocious. they come back no matter what you do. But
and just when I think I'm getting a handle, all of a sudden they've gone crazy again.
Yep.
Yeah, I know that. I've done 10,000 lawns in my career. And people say, "Hey, my lawn's full of weeds. What do I do?" And I tell them the process, and they hired me to go ahead and do it. And we did it, and it looks good for 6 months, and then you get these first little weeds popping in. Well, the first little weeds will, if you're not controlling them, if you're not doing anything about them, they will gradually take over again.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a prime area for growing any grass, any weed, anything like that. It really works well. But
I should go ahead and use that broadleaf weed killer now in the evenings and get started on it. Okay.
Yeah. And then keep up on the fertilizing throughout the summer. And when the grass is strong, keep it strong. Because if the grass is strong, the weeds cannot compete because the grass is the dominant feature in the lawn. And you just got to remember that.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, okay. You get it all questions answered there?
I think so. I've got lots of notes now.
Okay. Well, call back sometime in the future and tell me how it's going, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're sure welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. All righty. There we go. It's that easy, you know.
Yeah, well, it's not easy, but you have to be consistent.
No, I meant to call in.
Oh, yeah. Well, give me some more calls. I love those calls.
But then again, you have to be consistent on that, too, I guess.
Oh, okay. 673-4464 is the number to call if you have a question, whether it's lawns or shrubs or trees or bark mulch or rocks or water features. It doesn't matter. I can give you a lot.
Do it all.
Give you a lot of good ideas right off the bat.
Well, it may be a little cooler today, but did you hear the forecast here?
No.
Sunny and hot, 96 tomorrow.
Oh, great.
97 on Friday.
Great.
Again, another 96 on Saturday.
Great.
And Sunday, near 90, and then it cools off into the 80s.
Oh, goody.
That look he's giving me.
I know, man. It's like, why don't you put a knife in my heart and tell me the
story?
What,
the lows into the 50s, so there you go. Well,
that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's cool in the morning and the evening, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty much. Oh, there's your slight chance of showers.
When?
Sunday night after 11 p.m.
Slight chance.
Yeah.
That means 4 drops.
Or none,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's a slight chance, all right. I wonder how they come up with those terms, like slight chance.
They see a cloud that might come in, I guess.
I guess, because, I'm a believer that if it's going to rain, let it pour, let it get soaked, let the earth absorb all that moisture, and then you can work with your yard, you can work with your lawn, you can fertilize your lawn, you can do all those kinds of things. So, at any rate, if you have a call, 673-4464. So, what I was going to speak about today,
yes,
even though I'm speaking on something that you all hadn't planned on, I was speaking about perennials, new perennials. Perennials are plants that they're usually small, not all of them, but they're usually small and very colorful, and they bloom from early spring to late fall. And they just keep blooming and blooming and blooming and blooming, provided you water them properly and fertilize them properly. They're going to be a real showplace for your yard. And they're good for borders along the edge of the lawn, say, or they're good for foundation planting at your entryway or your back door. We have a call?
We do have a call.
Okay.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike. Hello?
Hi, my name is Mark. Hello,
Mark.
Are you there?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir, I am.
Yeah, I've got a question. I live down in Klamath Falls, but I had this grass in about a quarter of my rear, my backyard. It's about 200 feet deep, and it stayed green all the way like into October. And the best I could see, it might be called like buffalo grass or something like that. Have you ever heard anything like that?
I've heard of buffalo grass, but it's kind of invasive.
Oh, it's invasive, so that's considered like a weed?
Well, not technically speaking, but it takes over. Are you talking about a lawn situation now?
Yeah, it's a lawn.
Okay.
And I can't remember what time of year, but there's a certain time of year it kind of grows up, and it has these little stalk things get up about 10 or 12 inches, and they have these little things hanging off the top of it, kind of like a helicopter looking thing.
No.
I don't know. I'm not a botanist or anything, so.
Well, you know, when those little funny looking helicopter things show up, you want to get out there and mow it pretty short, and that way it will force those little helicopter things to drop off and die. And after you do that, as I told the previous caller, you can thatch it, you can aerate it, fertilize it, and put it to bed for the winter.
Yeah, I was listening to everything, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I called.
Okay.
But yeah, I really like that grass, and there, I guess Fort Klamath area had this grass, and that was why they built the fort there, because of the fuel. And I go, fuel? And they said, yeah, for the cattle and the horses.
It stays green
way, way into like almost before it starts freezing.
Now, how long?
No water.
How long has this grass been in?
Well, I've lived there for 8 years. The house was built in 1923, so I really don't know.
Oh, okay. so
I would like to know what it is so I could get more of that seed. But like you said, if I just keep up on it and fertilize it, and I was always wondering about that fertilizing before the first, you know, after the first snow or something like that. So all during the winter, because it gets warm and cool, but the water saturates the ground really good. I was thinking the same thing. So you guys kind of answered my question on that.
Good, good. Well, you know, if you are consistent in your fertilization and consistent in your weed eradication, you will have success, but it takes some time and effort and a few bucks.
Right. Well, you know, I just paid my house off September last year, I think. Yeah, September last year. So I finally have some extra bucks.
Congratulations.
that's why I'm working on the house, and I want to get my yard together. And it helps cut down the dirt, too, you know, when you have a green grass, green lawn.
Yeah.
It helps keep your house cleaner.
Yeah, and it looks a lot better, and everything is crisp and clean, and if you ever want to resell it, you've got a really beautiful yard there that people will be attracted to.
And my dad always told me to cut the grass kind of high, and it kind of helps shade the roots, and you don't have to water it as often. I don't know if that's true or not. But
it is true. It is true, but that first mowing, you want to get rid of that seeds on the buffalo grass. And you do that by mowing it short. Then you begin the fertilizing. Give it some fertilizer and then mow it and water it.
Okay. And then you want to fertilize it when it's short also, right? You want to,
yeah. As soon as you cut it and it's short,
fertilize it.
Yeah.
Mow it again, fertilize it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, how much rain do you guys get over there?
Not very much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can, you know, snowfall-wise, when we get a snow, we're less you know, more than 3 or 4 inches. But we did get, like, a storm that we got about 8 or 9 inches last year. So that was kind of unusual.
Whoa, of snow or rain? So
not, 9 inches of snow, which is like, what was that? It's 10 to 1. So
yeah,
it's like nine tenths of an inch of rain. I don't know. I don't know. My math's not very good.
That's okay.
Neither is mine.
Yeah.
Right, right. But anyway, it's not a lot of rain. I mean, moisture.
Yeah.
We're moving. My son's moving.
Mm-hmm.
And my dog's barking. Everybody's coming in here. Hazel. Anyway, well, thank you so much for taking my call and answering some questions, and I can get on it with real knowledge.
Well, good.
Instead of guesswork.
And I thank you for calling all the way from Klamath Falls, for crying out loud. And
I'm in
listening
Roseburg right now, but
and for listening to the show.
Yeah, well, I like talk radio better than music. Yeah, I'm an old guy. I'm almost 70.
Oh, join the club.
I'm 77.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
It's a learning process, getting old, right?
Oh, it is. Every day is a learning process. You learn something new.
You think you can't. Yeah, just thinking when you can't do something, you can.
Yeah.
You just haven't done it for a while.
You got to learn how to get out of bed and walk. Yeah.
Learn how to make breakfast.
Yeah. But once you get into doing things, you find out you still have it, you know. So that's why I'm looking forward to start doing my yard and everything and get it all together right. And so anyway, well, I hope I don't offend anybody out there, but God bless y'all. And you have a nice day.
Thank you. God bless you all.
All right.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
And that takes us right into the break.
We're in a break now, huh?
Yeah. What's our phone number?
I don't know. 673-4464 is the phone number.
All right. We'll be right back.
I like that guy to call all the way from
That's
cool.
Nice guy. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is indeed. Today is Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, if you didn't already happen to know that.
Yeah, and what about ODOT?
Oh, I said if you didn't happen to know that.
Oh, I thought you said it's happening in ODOT.
Oh,
God. They're busting us, huh?
And I thought you said something about Obama. So, boy, we're really good today.
Well, you better listen up, partner. But today, I was doing an article on perennials. Perennials are usually smaller plants, flowering plants that bloom, quite a bit of the year. And they're really tough. They're really easy to grow. There's no hard thing about growing perennials. They're a weed, basically.
They just keep coming back.
They keep coming back, and they bloom, and they're pretty, and they don't take a whole lot of care once they're in the ground, and they're looking good most of the year.
All right. Hey, good afternoon there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Oh, okay. Hey, I got a question from... Hi, Mike. I got a question about... transplanting a large tree into my yard. I've got a pretty large yard and got it landscaped with a few plants and stuff around the house, but I want to plant a pretty good sized tree, whatever I can, I don't know, whatever's reasonable or available, you know, at the
nurseries. Yeah. Well, I want to know
what specifics there are for transplanting a larger tree versus just a normal planting a smaller one.
Well, when you say larger tree, how large are you speaking about?
I haven't checked to see what's out there, but I wouldn't mind a 15-foot tall tree if it's possible.
Well, it's possible, but that's a whole lot of work, and And a 15-foot tree would have quite a root ball on it. So unless you were a Superman-type digger, it would be good to have somebody else dig it for you, or a couple of teenagers go in there and dig the hole.
Well, how about a backhoe?
A backhoe would work.
I've got a backhoe.
Well, good. Hey, you're way up on the on the list then, boy. But
What I want to know is how. I guess I should wait till the weather changes to some degree.
Yeah, cool. Let it cool off.
And then
off.
What? Do the usual mixing of native soil with potting mix or something.
Mm-hmm. You can use potting mix. You can use old fine grind bark mulch. Throw in some topsoil in there and make the best, loosest combination of soil mix that you can, and over dig the hole. In other words, if the tree pot is say 30 inches in diameter, the planting hole should be 40 inches in diameter. And is it in a lawn or anything like that?
Well, it's not a lawn that's cared for. It's mowed, but it's not watered.
Okay.
So, but, and it's going to be quite a ways from the house. I'm sure that's probably important. Probably, 50 or 60 feet, because I'm hoping to get some kind of oak tree is what I'm hoping to get.
Well, there's not too many oak trees available in the nursery industry around here. You might have to go to Eugene to find one. And
I can't get a native type oak.
Well, there's many, many oaks you can choose from. You can do a native. There's California black oak and Oregon white oak, and then there's a whole bunch of other types of oaks that will work. And you primarily want this for shade, correct?
Yeah, that's my hope.
Okay.
Yeah, the house looks a little, bare without a decent sized tree around it, and that's what I'm hoping. I got a big yard,
Good. Well, make sure that, like I say, if the potted tree, if you're going to get a big one, if the potted tree is 15 inches or 20 inches in diameter or even larger, You'll want to have a backhoe in there to do the work. And as you're...
What about loosening up the soil that it comes in the pot? Should I knock all that off?
No. Don't do that, because that's where the root ball is and the roots are growing. So you want to keep that intact. And after you dig your hole and put some good soil in there, compact it a little bit on the bottom so it doesn't sink over time. And so you're going to be mounding the tree 6 inches or 7 inches, something like that, when it's finally planted. And like I say, a good soil mix, put the tree in, and then you want to not fertilize it, but you want to give it some vitamin B1. It's kind of a fertilizer, but what it is, it's a root enhancer. In other words, it energizes the root system. And vitamin B1, you can get a small bottle of it for, $7.95 or something like that. But you can use it on any plant. You can use it on petunias.
Should I do something for next summer? You say mound it, but should I do some provision for giving it a good watering next summer a couple times? Build some kind of a dam around the thing on the.
I wouldn't put a dam. I wouldn't put a dam on it. I would mound it up so that the base of the tree is probably 4 to 6 inches above the surrounding ground. That way, it gives it an opportunity to settle, and as it settles over 2 years, it'll come out at ground level. If you put it in too low, then you're going to get too much water on it, and then the tree is going to suffer because of too much water.
Okay.
And
when I water it next year, should that be with a sprinkler then, rather than just laying a hose out there?
You could, but you don't want to give it 500 gallons or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
You want to just soak it. With a hose, you could water for 10 to 15 minutes. you know, and you wouldn't start watering until, oh gosh, mid-April, 1st of May, because the ground is wet. Okay. The ground is very wet still. You can't tell because it's down there. The water is down there. And otherwise, you'll rot the roots, and the big tree will begin to lose roots because of the overwater.
Oh, okay.
And then your expensive tree begins to fold up, and you can't figure out why the leaves are curling up, why they're turning brown, why they're falling off. Well, that's a sign of overwater, especially on an oak. You want to make
I'm
sure
I have to go to Eugene and hunt for an oak. Huh?
You might, but you can go to, oh, there's several nurseries. You can go to Young's Garden and Pets, or you can go to Wintergreen and see what they got. Wildwood's nursery is right down the road from Wintergreen. And just see what they've got. And maybe if they don't have what you need, ask them, hey, can you order me one? I want it this big. I want it to do this and this and this and this. And as the fall gets here, like another month from now, would be a good time to plant it.
I got another question about staking it out for the windy weather.
Yeah.
Should I put a couple stakes around it close, or should I put stakes far, kind of at an angle and put wires on it or something?
No, just put it straight up and down in the hole and wire it up and have a hose or some kind of rubber device around the trunk so when the wind does blow, it doesn't hurt the trunk of the tree. There's no way it hurts.
Okay.
And you know, we don't have that many windy days around here, but it's a precaution. You don't want to girdle the tree. In other words, you don't want to put a wire ring around the tree. That's why the rubber, the hose thing is good. That's what you want around the stem. And then next spring, about April maybe, you'd water it maybe once every 7 to 10 days. And that's all. Because like I say, overwater is the biggest killer of trees and shrubs than underwater. I mean, they can survive drought. But when you overwater, what happens is all that water gets down into the root system and rots the roots, and pretty soon the tree's starting to look terrible because the roots are rotted and it can't take any nutrition from the soil and pass it up to the tree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sounds good. I guess I need to go to town and start looking for a tree.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot.
Are all your questions?
Oh, yeah, for now.
Okay. If you have any more questions, don't hesitate to call, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
All righty. It's break time already. And the phone number there, Mike?
673-4464. I love calls, so keep calling, please.
And they're all open, so there's no waiting. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, and we have a call. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. This year I've had a little bit more of a problem with dandelions popping up in the lawn. And so I've been spot spraying them with a little bit of Roundup, just kind of in the center of the dandelion.
Yeah.
But when they die, I end up with a brown spot that's the size of a softball or sometimes even bigger. And I'm trying to figure out, why is that happening?
Well, it's because when you're spraying, you're overspraying to the outer perimeters of the dandelion, And, you know, the
okay.
the Roundup has no stopping point. I mean, if you get it on a plant, it's going to die. But so you got to
right.
be real careful with a smaller sprayer or a smaller nozzle. It'd take you longer to spray, but still, you'd have brown spots, but they'd be a lot smaller.
Okay. Now, I thought I'd trying to, you know, be pretty careful and keep it, you know, sprayed in a yeah. very small spot, but apparently yeah. that's not happening.
No,
I
you're
didn't know if
overdoing it, man.
Overdoing it, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see if I can cut that back a little bit then.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And make sure you don't do it on a windy day or anything like that. Just make sure, you know, the sun
right.
is shining and no wind, and just don't
okay.
don't give it full pressure. Just put that nozzle right down in the middle of the dandelion and give it a couple of shots. That's it. Just a
couple of shots. Okay.
It.
What are your thoughts on some of these substitutes for Roundup, the vinegar and Dawn soap and that kind of stuff?
Well, I've never used any of that because I like Roundup so much and it does such a good job.
Okay.
Know? Yeah.
I gotcha.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your time, Mike.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
All righty. Are you saying you don't want to share it with your neighbors on a windy day?
No, you don't.
Okay.
Because your neighbors might be irritated at you in 3 days when they see half of their lawn
gone dead.
Gone. And they go, oh, man, what is my lawn? And then they'd be calling me wanting to know why their lawn was dead. You know, the first question is, did your neighbor spray with Roundup?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. So you can't have any wind. You can't have the sprayer on full pressure, and you put the nozzle right down on the plant and just a that's it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, very, very small dose. And you might have to do it twice, but it works.
That's good to know because I would have saturated it.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do because they don't know. And what the heck?
I bet it kills the plant, though.
No, it does. Yeah, it gets the plant and any grass around
grass
it or anything like
else.
That. Yeah. So, hey, I want to thank everybody for calling. I mean, this is great. 673-4464 is the number to call. Any question is fair game. So don't hesitate to give us a call at 673-4464.
You betcha.
Yeah. Well, you know, for getting my first three pages.
You're doing well.
Of notes. I mean, I'm on page four right now, five and six. And, and I thought, what happened to them? And I wasn't going to go back to the truck because I was late getting in here a little bit. I wasn't going to, because I didn't discover it till I got in here.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. What is this?
You wouldn't let me to go out there and get them.
No, you wouldn't. You couldn't find my truck, and you couldn't find the stuff in the truck because it's such a stinking mess. You know.
Well, I offered.
I know, and you're very kind.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, back to the program.
Back to the program. I started to talk about perennials. Small evergreen, sometimes not evergreen, shrubs that bloom all summer long, just about.
Wow.
And they're tough, and they don't need a lot of care. They like sun. Some of them, a few of them like shade. But most of them like sun or half day sun at least, and they can get some varieties can get large. Our large would be a foot and a half, 2 feet to 2 feet wide.
That's pretty large.
So, yeah, so you don't want to plant them too close to one another. You want to give them some space to grow, but you know you can always prune them. Or you don't want to put them too close to a building, you know, a couple of feet away from foundation or a fence
yeah.
or something, or driveway, something like that. And the first year they're going to grow slowly, but after they are growing, crowding one another,
mm-hmm.
and they will. There's some varieties. That stay small and grow slow, but again, do your research and find out what their ultimate size is going to be. And if you maintain them by pruning lightly, once a year at least, you'll be happy with the results. Because they're a tough little plant. They're colorful. They're easy to grow. They're tough. The best time for pushing is after, or for pruning, is after the blooms begin. Mm. In other words, they've already bloomed, and they're looking strong. They're looking good. But when the blooms start to fade a little bit, that's when you can prune them.
Oh, okay.
And then you just top them, you know, just lightly.
Yeah.
And bingo, the first thing you know, you've got more blooms coming. And they will do that clear into when it gets cold. So
cool.
A
new generation.
Yeah. And if you did that, oh gosh, in March, February, March, planted them, you'd probably want to prune them, you know, May or June, depends on how many flowers are on there. And that will just fill them out and give them more blooms. And they go on for the rest of the summer, and you kind of repeat it. But you're pruning very lightly. Okay. You're not butchering the plant. You're just kind of snipping the tops.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting rid of the old flowers and things like that. But once they're established, They don't go anywhere.
They ain't going nowhere.
No, they get bigger and nicer and fuller. And they take normal watering, which means, you know, once or twice a week. Normal fertilizing means, you know, maybe once a month with a good plant and shrub fertilizer. And they're like I say, they're very tough, and they'll do a good job for you, very colorful. And there's hundreds of varieties to choose from.
And wow.
You can have all the same color along, say you got a fence.
Yeah.
And you can have all the same color, or you can have three or four colors, you know. You can have a blue, a red, a white, and a purple, you know, staggered like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Put them about 3-4 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, that's, I could use more in there. But no, you don't want to crowd them.
Yeah.
Because in no time at all, you'll see how much they fill out, especially after you've pruned them. So it's a nice plant to have. Like I say, they're very, very tough.
Now, what's that called again?
They're perennials.
Perennials.
Perennials. Okay. And a lot of them will bloom clear into the cold winter time, you know, November-ish, something like that. And a lot of them are evergreen, and they'll sit there through the winter time with green leaves. But then the first sign of spring, say end of February or so, they start pushing new flower buds and new growth. And
even in the colder weather.
Huh? Oh, even in the colder weather, because and like I say, there's not a lot of care involved in them. They're easy to take care of, and tougher than nails. And I was just telling that gentleman about his tree.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is overwater. You know, if you're out there watering every day, you're going to kill him.
and
you know, once or twice a week, depending on your soil, depending on your drainage, is how they're going to grow. It's that simple. It's better to starve them for water than overwater and drown
okay.
them. And that's the same with any plant. That's the same with rhododendron or a tree that the gentleman was talking about earlier. You want to keep the water to a minimum in the times per week that you do it. But when you do it, you give them a good water.
Okay.
So
they can survive in between.
Yeah. And how to check that, you have to put your hand down into the soil
and
dig a little bit with your hand so you can feel the moisture in the soil. If you dig down, you know, 4 or 5 inches and it feels really wet, quit it. Stop. But you dig down 4 or 5 inches and it's kind of damp and maybe almost on the dry side, give them a good shot of water.
Okay.
That's how they are.
And on that note, should we take a break?
Of course, you're the boss.
All right. What is the number there, Mike?
673-4464. Any questions? Fair game.
Absolutely. 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, talk we will. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Hang on just a second. I'm getting my mail out of the box. This is kind of a information type of thing. I'm not the most patient guy in the world, and I had a brand new lawn put in about a year ago, not a large lawn, but pretty small. I think it was fescue, but they did a really nice job, and it was just as green could be. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, about 3-4 months ago, I had this spots of dry brown grass right in the middle of this beautiful green. And 99% of the lawn was beautiful, but there were maybe a spot 2 feet wide, and then another one 1 foot wide, and so on. And so I went and bought, I'm in a precarious position right now, just hang on, be patient.
Okay.
Okay, so I went and bought some insect pellets that you put on your lawn, like fertilizer.
Right.
And so being impatient as I am, I thought within a week or two, the brown spots would be gone. Well, they weren't. And so I thought, well, that was a waste of money and time. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? About 2 months later, that's now, the lawn is just as green as it was in the beginning. So I guess the message that I'm giving is that you got to be patient.
Yeah.
It takes time for the stuff to work and do its job.
Yeah, and mature. The root system has to mature and get down to good ground where it needs to get full nutrition and grow. It's that simple.
Yeah, but I've never seen a new lawn 6 months, 7, 8 months old all of a sudden have these brown spots, and I just thought, what in the world is that all about?
So were you spraying it with something?
No, I didn't spray it with anything. I just fertilized it every 2 months, like the landscaper said to do, and it was beautiful. Then all of a sudden, I've got these little round spots, 2 feet wide, 1 foot wide, 3 or 4 of them here or there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, 95% of it was just beautiful, but the other 5% was brown spots. But this insect killer, or it was a pellet, not a spray.
Yeah.
It did its job, but it took a couple of months. It didn't do it overnight.
Oh, yeah. None of that is a quick fix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Good. So. Good. You don't remember the name of the stuff you put on it, do you?
No, it wasn't. I don't even know where. I can't say where I got it. It was maybe at Costco, or maybe,
sure,
I don't know, one of the local stores. Nothing special, but it was for insects, and it worked. So,
well, save the bag and make sure you remember if you have another problem like that you buy the same stuff.
Yeah, the message is patience.
Yes, it is. You don't get, there's no instant fix on living things that way.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And
anyway.
But that's a good story, though.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you for the call.
All righty, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All righty, we're drawing to nearly a close.
Yeah.
Might be a little slippy in if you got a real quick question.
673-4464 is the number to call. And if you don't have a question, just sing a song or something
there
like that.
There you go. Sing us out to the news.
Yeah. But lawns in our area are a peculiar thing because of a lot of times it's the heat of the summer that does the most damage. And if we don't balance out the fertilization and the watering, we can get lawn kill. Or we can get bugs in there that are devouring the roots. And as soon as you see any of that, you ought to dig up the little spot before it gets too big. And if it's only 6 inches wide, You ought to dig that up and look at the roots and see that if there's any bugs in there or strange looking worms or something along those lines, and that will help you keep those kinds of things under control. So I hope that answered your question. And I got time for half a question. So 673-4464.
Well, speaking of music.
Did
you know, yeah, you into Toby Keith music at all?
Oh, I've heard him. Yeah, why?
They're having a special tribute to him on, I believe it's NBC tonight.
Really?
With a lot of other country music artists too. So,
is he alive?
No, he left us just earlier this year. Not too long ago is what I'm trying to say.
How old was he?
God, he wasn't very old.
Hmm.
Well, late 40s, 50s.
Is it on TV or something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, I think if it's on NBC, that's the only network I get.
Oh, okay.
it's got to be on that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known anything about it. Now that I put in a plug for him, maybe they'll send me a...
He'll probably send you a prize.
Yeah. We got about 20 seconds.
20 seconds. Well, I want to thank you folks for calling and asking intelligent questions, and I hope that I answered every one of those correctly and that you take the steps to correct your problems. And if everything gets corrected, call me back, let me know the results, and we're happy, okay?
That's going to put a wrapper on it. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. Thanks for the calls, folks.